It is Friday, June 13th, and from the Carver Center for Public Radio, this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. The KUAF Summer Jazz Series welcomes the jazz fusion group The Yellow Jackets Saturday, June 21st at the Eureka Springs City Auditorium. As part of the 16th annual series, the Grammy Award-winning Yellow Jackets will perform their high-energy mix of jazz, funk, and blues. The Summer Jazz Series is presented by the Northwest Arkansas Jazz Society. Tickets available online at theaud.org.
In just a few moments on Ozarks, I'll talk to Michael Tilley from thecitywire.com about the week's news, and later Christina Karnatz talks to a band with a new CD of original material. And they also have a summer off between 8th and 9th grade. The band Excluded will be inside the Furman Gardner Performance Studio.
But first, Governor Mike Beebe says he's optimistic that next year Arkansas lawmakers will renew the private option. Tuesday, one of the architects of the Medicaid expansion narrowly lost a Republican runoff election for a North Arkansas Senate seat. The program needs a 3/4 supermajority to be renewed, and it passed this year with no votes to spare. Governor Beebe said last night he believes lawmakers will see the benefits of expanding health care coverage.
It's going to make it harder, and I guess by 200 votes, one of the things you can say is 201 people in the state may end up affecting the private option because that's the margin of difference in that race. But I'm still a believer that when you've got 70%, 72%, 74% of the General Assembly that favor a policy, it's going to be hard for 25 or 20, 26 or 27% to reject that policy.
In Tuesday's runoff election, Scott Flippo defeated Representative John Burris, who worked with Governor Beebe to create the alternative to President Obama's health care plan.
Arkansas outperformed the national average in gross domestic product growth for 2013, ranking 16th in the country. The annual report from the Federal Bureau of Economic Analysis shows Arkansas's GDP grew at 2.4%, while the U.S. average slowed from 2.5% in 2012 to 1.8%. Department of Finance and Administration economist John Shelnut says an important source of growth came from one particular sector.
The gain was provided by the mining sector, which is really oil and gas, extraction, agriculture, and in this report, also utilities were up sharply.
Shelnut says that the bump from the mining sector was unexpected.
It's a fairly unusual collection of sectors providing that extra bump compared to other states, and I would not expect this collection of sectors to continue to push the numbers in 2014.
Arkansas outperformed the average for the southeastern U.S., though neighboring states Texas and Oklahoma outperformed Arkansas.
The 17th annual Northwest Arkansas Juneteenth celebration will be held from 3 to 7 p.m. tomorrow at Murphy Park in Springdale. Danielle Wood, the chair of the event, says this Juneteenth is the 149th celebration of the freeing of slaves following the Civil War.
As you very well may know, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed in 1863, and this celebration deals with the emerging of the information coming to the South where the slaves found out about it, and the celebrations kind of grow from there as it went to the southern states, and then specifically it started in Galveston, Texas. So with that, it kind of emerged from there, and it's somewhat traditional in the South that Juneteenth celebrations happen to commemorate that occasion.
Wood says the Northwest Arkansas Juneteenth celebration is usually geared toward education about African American history. She says the educational component this year will also focus on other issues.
In the African American community, health and wellness has been an issue. I mean, where you know that a large percentage of African Americans either have diabetes or high blood pressure, and we wanted to make sure that we are educating our community about how we can ensure that we can promote healthy living. So on top of just having the normal activities that we've had historically, like having music and activities for kids and food and all that, we're also joining with the Northwest Arkansas branch of the NAACP and the Community Clinic of Northwest Arkansas to have kind of a small health fair.
Medical and dental pre-screenings will be offered to let attendees know if there are any issues that should be addressed by their regular physicians or dentists. Admission to the Juneteenth celebration is free, though some vendors will be set up, and proceeds from a silent auction and T-shirt sales will benefit scholarships at the University of Arkansas.
Three of the four races in this year's election for Fayetteville City Council have announced candidates, though the official filing period for those races does not begin until next month. Yesterday, Ward 3 Position 1 Alderman Justin Tennant announced his intention to seek a second term on the council, while Ward 2 Position 1 Alderman Mark Kenyon earlier this week announced his bid for re-election. Adela Gray, who currently holds the Ward 1 Position 1 seat, will also seek re-election. That will put her against Sonia Gutierrez, who announced her candidacy for the seat last week. Rhonda Adams, who holds the Ward 4 Position 1 seat on the council, has announced she will not seek re-election.
Beginning next month, someone new will be at the helm of the Arkansas Board of Education. According to Talk Business and Politics, the Board of Education announced yesterday that Tony Wood would become the state's new education commissioner effective July 1st. He will replace outgoing Commissioner Tom Kimbrell, who is leaving the post to become superintendent of the Bryant School District. Wood has served as deputy commissioner at the state agency that oversees the state's K-12 public school policies, and he has worked in education for more than three decades in various roles at school districts in Beedville, Judsonia, Kensett, Searcy, and Little Rock.
The Arkansas Razorback men's track team is in 12th place after 2 days at the NCAA championships in Eugene, Oregon. The meet runs through Saturday. The women's team advanced two athletes to Saturday's finals during yesterday's action as well.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals have one more road game before returning to Springdale for a 10-game homestand beginning Sunday. The Nats are in Springfield tonight after beating the Cardinals 3-2 last night.
Clear with lows from 56 in Northwest Arkansas tonight to the lower 60s in the Arkansas River Valley. Mostly sunny tomorrow, highs between 83 and 88. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, lows in the mid to upper 60s. This is Ozarks at Large for a Friday the 13th, but our good luck is that Michael Tilley, the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com, is with us from Fort Smith. Let's try to get into some of the things that happened in the past 7 days. Let's start with Tyson and their attempted acquisition of Hillshire.
Yeah, this is a big deal. I mean, it's $8.5 billion. Tyson got into it, and it happened quickly. This is typically the take a while, but back and forth with Pilgrim's Pride. They bid up Hillshire Brands, which, you know, makes Jimmy Dean sausages, all the Hillshire brand deli meats, a lot of different things you probably don't realize they make. But, you know, they bid this up from around $5.5 billion up to $8.5 billion. And Tyson has won the deal. The only thing the main thing that could block this is prior to this, Hillshire Brands had offered $4.3 billion to buy Pinnacle Foods, another smaller food company. But, you know, this would, if it came together, would create almost a $40 billion company for Tyson. It probably would. And as they grow, it would probably go over $40 to $45 billion in annual sales, which is huge. And it would vault them up into the number two position in terms of market share for these brands, for some of these, for this, that category. And interestingly enough, make it one of Walmart's bigger vendors right in their own backyard. But this is it was a 70% premium increase for investors. A lot of them, we've talked to a lot of analysts and read a lot of analyst reports. I think the majority consensus is that Tyson paid too much. Probably take them 3 to 5 years to cycle this through and really see the benefits. Some have likened it to Tyson's acquisition of IBT, which caused the company to struggle for a few years. I don't think it's going to be that bad, but this is huge, huge for Northwest Arkansas. And we haven't even talked to Tyson yet about what kind of people it brought to the Northwest Arkansas area, or if it will expand the Tyson campus, corporate campus. But Big deal. And one last thing on this, Kyle, is that, you know, Donnie Smith and his crew, a lot of folks, if it hadn't been for the past 3 to 4 years of them getting Tyson back on its feet financially, the company would not have been able to win this bid for Hillshire Brands. So kudos to them for being able to get their financial legs under it and making this happen. And now it's going to be one of those deals that's like the dog that catches the car. You know, now what do you do with it? So that'll be the question.
Well, I'm going to ask for a little bit of perspective here because I know we're talking Fortune 500 companies, and they deal in a realm that most of us will never understand. But $8.5 billion, that is, even for a Fortune 500 company, that's a lot of money, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of money, and it will be the biggest brand deal in that category history. You know, and another way to look at $8.5 billion, now, Tyson made around $36 billion last year, so that's a big chunk of 1 year of earnings. And, you know, Tyson has a history of giving a lot of that back in share buybacks, and or at least recent history, in dividends. So, you know, the shareholders are going to have to be patient also with this because this could suck up some money that they may have typically got in share buybacks and dividends.
If you watch the Fort Smith City Director's agenda, and you've been watching for the past couple of weeks, you've seen some changes. First, there was going to be a resolution that would have directed the city to hire an auditor to look into the billings of the city's law firm, Daly & Woods. Now, that's not going to happen. That's off the agenda.
No, and how we got here, Kyle, was Little Rock attorney Matt Campbell found what he claims are discrepancies, and he outlined in several stories on his website, the Blue Hog Report, several discrepancies in how the city's legal firm that they contract with, which is Daly & Woods, their billing, what they reported to the city in terms of their activity and what they did, and that primarily involved phone calls. Essentially, Daly & Woods said they made a certain number of phone calls to Matt Campbell related to certain issues. Matt claims those calls were never made. Matt's allegations suggest that Daly & Woods is pumping up their billing. And there for years have been questions about the relationship with the legal firm and why don't we have it in-house. A majority of cities large cities in Arkansas have an in-house attorney or two. I think Fort Smith, of the larger cities, is the only one that doesn't. So this kind of pushed the issue. For whatever reason, the Fort Smith Board of Directors and the Fort Smith City Administration have been dismissive of Matt Campbell. They've essentially said, well, he's a lawyer. He's suing the city, which he is. He's suing some former police officers and other folks in a lawsuit against the police department. But Matt's been doing well with those lawsuits. He didn't really need any help. And the other thing to remember about Matt Campbell is, if you remember what happened to Lieutenant Governor Mark Dar, it was found out that he was fudging on his numbers and using his Lieutenant Governor's budget wrong. Well, Matt was the one to discover that and push that. Everyone initially, including Mark Dar, Lieutenant Governor Mark Dar, initially dismissed Matt Campbell. Well, Dar eventually had to resign, and he could still face, you know, some legal issues. I think Judge Maggio down in Central Arkansas.
That's right.
Now, so Matt, whether you like him or not, whether you like his allegations or not, and that's the perspective that we just have to look at on a factual basis, he's had a heck of a history in terms of success on finding out these things and then pushing them. So it's very interesting, the city's angle on this, by just dismissing any effort by a couple of board members to look further into this and to review the relationship going forward. So it certainly causes one to wonder why they're so dismissive of this idea. So we're going to watch it closely and keep asking some questions.
A change for Fort Smith last Saturday, something that we have talked about since you and I have been doing these conversations, the 188th.
Yes, the last of the two warplanes, you know, they had the A-10 Warthogs, and we learned last summer that they were going to lose them and their mission was going to change to this intelligence, recon, and surveillance. So Saturday, the last two A-10s flew out, and there was a huge ceremony. It was a conversion day ceremony, which they essentially converted from their fighter mission to the recon mission. But, you know, it was still, you know, we've had a year or more to know that these ATMs are going out. But I got to tell you, Kyle, there's a little lump in the throat seeing those last two tackle off the runway and head east over to Georgia. It was a little bit, it wasn't pleasant, even though the military had just, you know, an hour before talked about all the great things that are going to happen to their new mission. But, you know, we're not going to hear that roar of those military. Well, the next military jet you see flying over Fort Smith, it won't be an A-10 or it won't be a 188 plane, unfortunately. But they do have the new mission. They're still going to keep, you know, around 900 folks training here. They're going to invest close to $13 million in a, what's called an intelligence kind of center for this new defense program. So maybe the good that'll come out this, it'll put us on the map, because, you know, this intelligence is using these remotely piloted aircraft for this intelligence recon mission. That is a growing part of the military and will be a growth part of the military on into the future. So maybe I'm hopeful that it'll lead to you know, putting Fort Smith on the map, so to speak, in terms of being part of that growing defense mission.
Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. He joins me most Fridays. Michael, thank you.
You are welcome. Have a good weekend, despite the 13th and the moon and all that other good stuff.
Right. Just stay careful, I think, is what you're saying.
Yes, sir.
Ahead on Ozarks, we'll announce the winner of tickets to the entire KUAF Summer Jazz Series, and the band Excluded comes to the studio.
May. Yeah, we played in May. We played Pig Trail, you know, Harley Davidson, and then we played JJ's and Mojo's.
Yeah, and JJ's we packed out a couple times.
And Mojo's, yeah. They said like that's the most that have been there in a while.
That's ahead on Ozarks at Large.
Hi, my name is Paul, your host for the Generic Blue Show, which airs every Friday night at 9 o'clock. Join me this Friday. We are previewing the 2014 Riverfront Blues Festival in Fort Smith, Arkansas, in Harry E. Kelly Park. That's Friday and Saturday, June 20th and 21st. I'll be playing some selections from this year's performers, J.P. Soares, Little Ed and the Blues Imperials, Samantha Fish, and Paul Thorne. Again, that's the Generic Blue Show every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you then.
Last weekend, one of the last working phone booths in Arkansas was hit by a car. The booth, which has become an iconic part of Prairie Grove, appears to be headed for repairs and is expected to be back sometime in the future. The phone booth's fate is also attracting some national attention. In August of 1995, that very booth was part of a story Kyle produced about the diminishing number of phone booths in the region.
This is Ozarks at Large. Let's say you wanted to make a call from a phone booth. Not just a pay phone, but an actual phone booth with a door that opens and closes. In Arkansas, your only option may be to come right here, in Prairie Grove, across from the Prairie Grove Battlefield State Park.
You see, there used to be phone booths everywhere. Inside hotels, inside airports, and outside, in front of stores and on street corners. But they're almost all gone now. What happened? Did they become too big? Did they evolve into smaller, faster, smarter pay phones? Or were they wiped out in a meteor shower? The fact is, simple economics, and the splitting of Ma Bell, created the way for the extinction of phone booths. Wayne Snuffy Smith is something of a phone booth historian. He worked for AT&T for over 20 years in the public communications department, what the insiders call the coins department. Now retired from the phone business, he runs a photography shop in Little Rock. Snuffy can tell you all sorts of facts about payphones and phone booths. For instance, the first payphone in history was installed in Hartford, Connecticut in 1888. The first coin phone in the Southwest was in the Capitol Hotel in Little Rock, installed in 1894. Snuffy says once Ma Bell broke up, the phone booth's days were numbered.
And the reasons for the demise of the wooden payphone booth, of course, is expense. When they came out with the wooden payphone booths, Western Electric manufactured the first ones. And they had little blower motors in them, little cooling fans, and they had lights. And they were very well made by hand. Some of them made out of cherry wood, some of them made out of oak. Some of them pine, of course, but there are still some out there that are beautiful. And they were put in place to match the decor of whatever they were in, like a hotel or a bus station, a train station. But they were very expensive.
Now the ones I can also remember growing up were the ones that were not so much wood, but mostly glass and metal.
And aluminum, okay. Yeah, you're a youngster. That's the kind Superman changed into.
I wonder what Superman does now.
I don't know. He'd have a hard time changing in one of these new type enclosures.
Enclosures. That's what payphones have around them now. Those blue shields that extend just a few inches past the phone and curve inward like a canoe tacked sideways to the wall. You can't hide your face behind those things, let alone change into blue underwear with an S on the chest.
Well, nowadays we've determined that Superman is so fast that, I mean, that he could probably change clothes right in front of you without you even knowing it.
Corey Carlson is the editor of Superman comic books, published by DC Comics.
In terms of representing it graphically, we do a lot of different things. I mean, in the movies, they do the revolving door stunt a couple of times. And, things like that.
And so the phone booth, lack of phone booth, doesn't bother Supes at all?
Nope, not really. Not really at all. So he can just, like I said, he's so fast, he could probably just leap into the sky and change, in mid-flight even.
Okay, Superman might not miss those corner phone booths, but can you imagine Robert Redford and all the president's men trying to call Deep Throat from a cellular phone?
This is Woodward. I want to talk about Watergate.
Okay, where were we? Phone booths, that's right. Former AT&T payphone specialist Wayne Smith says what most of us don't understand is that phone booths just cost a bunch of money to maintain once all the features are added up.
Payphones had to operate like everything else on their own. They had to, so they took a long, hard look, like you wouldn't go out here and spend. These aluminum booths, they're very expensive. Now, compare aluminum booth to mounting just a payphone on a wall in a housing. There's a lot of difference in cost. And back before the divestiture, it didn't worry so much about cost. It was more what the customer wanted. Now we're getting down to where they have to pay for themselves because all the toll revenue that we got from AT&T didn't subsidize local service anymore. Payphones are still considered local service. Aluminum booths, they cost, $1,200 to install. We go out here and put just a little aluminum shelf on a mounted on the wall, and it might, now these figures are, I'm just estimating.
Right.
This may cost, $600 or $700.
Smith says lawsuits filed by people cut by glass in a booth or injured in some way soon began to add up. In the 1970s, Smith says an AT&T study revealed that the coins dropped into payphone slots alone would have been enough cash to fuel a Fortune 500 company. But he says cellular phones have begun to take a chunk of that change. Many of the booths were auctioned off for charity, and now almost all of them are gone.
But just how soundproof are the doors on the old phone booths? Well, this is what it sounds like when you're having a conversation in a phone booth along a busy highway in Prairie Grove with the door open. And this is what it sounds like in the phone booth with the door closed.
Okay, so that didn't sound that different. One of the glass panels in that Prairie Grove phone booth, by the way, is missing. But the phone booth is not designed to help the person on this end hear the caller, but to allow the person at the payphone to hear better on his or her end. That's why payphones today, with nothing but those enclosures to protect them, have those little volume buttons on them. And besides, those phone booth doors come in pretty handy if you happen to be attacked by a flock of crazed birds. Tippi Hedren probably would have never made it out of Hitchcock's The Birds without that phone booth protecting her from the seagulls. Oh, and there's one more thing Stuffy Smith says people don't understand about payphones. They are complicated little devils. Not at all just a vending machine with a receiver.
But it has to depend on gravity. And it has to determine the denomination of the coin. It has to determine the material that it's made of. So it'll reject slugs and, you know, foreign coins and of course, the weight of the coin, a lot of things it determines in that just flash of a millisecond when that coin drops through there.
And so now that we know that one of the last of the outdoor phone booths is in Prairie Grove, there is just one more thing. Figuring out how, in these post-divestiture days full of regional, local, and subsidiary phone companies, you make a long-distance call.
Yes, operator, I'm trying to make a long-distance call, and I'm not able to do that. I was wondering if you could place it for me. It's Arkansas number 57561.
That story first aired on Ozarks at Large in August 1995. The phone booth in Prairie Grove mentioned in that story was hit last weekend by a car, but is expected to be repaired.
It is Friday the 13th, June 13th, 2014. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us, Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
What you can't see is I'm under the desk.
Why are you under the desk?
I feel safer there. It's Friday the 13th.
You're superstitious, are you not?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's always such a good day for me.
Oh, well, I hope it turns out to be. You know, I'm also trying to pack and do things like that, so I'm happy under here anyway.
Antoinette, you're somewhat superstitious.
I mean, I like to think it's a good day for me because I was born on the 13th, and it tends to be luckier for me.
Very good.
All right, then.
Maybe it's just a reverse.
We'll go with a lucky Friday the 13th.
Yes.
It was really bad luck for bats, however. About 8 years ago.
White nose syndrome?
White nose syndrome. Here's why white nose syndrome kills bats. It wakes them up. It's a fungus. It makes them itch. It wakes them up when they're supposed to be hibernating. And they can't find food.
Oh, no.
So the real reason, it's not that they're actually killed by white nose syndrome. They're killed by being awakened out of hibernation.
And then not being able to sustain.
Right. And so, if you didn't know that about bats, you can find out that and so much more at Devil's Den State Park this weekend. Harry Harnish is the one, he's retired now as a park interpreter at Devil's Den, but he's the one who got really interested in the bats in the caves there. And yes, the caves are still closed, I believe.
Yes.
But they're going to have their 25th Batarama to talk about bats.
25.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think that we've written about every single one of them.
Probably.
But they're also bringing in an expert from a national bat organization. His name is Rob Mize, I think. That's a reader's pronunciation. And he's going to have bats with him.
Including like some
a really big one.
From Mongolia or someplace?
A great big bat. He says that they're just like any other critter. When they get to know you, they know their names. They'll come to you when they're called.
Right. Well, the
so it'll be really interesting.
The big one sounds somewhat terrifying. I mean, it's the wingspan's like, what, a couple feet?
Oh, I'm absolutely in love with bats. But if you know me, that's not a surprise at all.
But he'll have live bats with him.
He will have live bats with him.
You suppose you check that on a plane? Or do you? Or is it carry-on?
Oh, I think it's carry-on.
Okay.
I think you put that under your seat.
Okay.
It's just a funny-looking pet, sir. So there will be two live bat encounters, one with Harry Harnish at 8 o'clock today and one with Rob Mize at 8 o'clock Saturday, actually 3 and 2 o'clock Sunday. All of this is free at Devil's Den State Park, and you can find out more at 761-3325. But there's a whole raft of other things to do. Juneteenth is Saturday at Murphy Park in Springdale. Events from 3 to 7 o'clock. The theme this year is African-American health,
right.
So they'll have a health fair. Of course, Juneteenth is the celebration that marks the end of slavery.
Right.
Where I will be on Saturday is a thing called the Junk Ranch. If you know me, that doesn't surprise you at all either.
It doesn't. But what is this? I don't think I've heard of it.
Oh, it's this wonderful thing. They had something last year at the Viney Grove Community Center, and it outgrew that. They had it the year before that at somebody's home and outgrew that. It's these two friends, Julie Speed and Amy Daniels, who love to pick.
And see, I used to think of pick meaning you get a guitar or whatever, but pick apparently now means you...
Pick now means you go out and find rusty, dusty, cool stuff that you repurpose.
So like yard sales. Then go to yard sales and buy something. And so
then we can go to their junk ranch and get all the things that they've repurposed.
Well, where's the junk ranch?
The junk ranch is in Prairie Grove, and they're going to have like 60 vendors, 3 food trucks, and music.
Oh, fun.
So it's going to be a craft fair, except not the traditional crafts. It is 11195 Center Point Church Road in Prairie Grove. Okay. And if you miss that, you should email me at bmartin@nwaonline.com, and I'll give it to you again, because the only way you're going to find it is with your GPS. Ours are 2 to 8 today and 8 to 5 on Saturday. It's $8 for the early shopping event today, $4 admission on Saturday, and they are on Facebook. And lest you forget the amazing theater currently on stage. Mm-hmm. The Arkansas New Play Festival is at Theater Squared at the Nadine Baum Studios. Leading Ladies is at Fort Smith Little Theater. And Wait Until Dark is at Rogers Little Theater.
All kinds of opportunities.
Cinderella is at the Alma Performing Arts Center.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. So I don't
One weekend only. That's the only reason.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to get to all of those, but I'm too frazzled to make a schedule for you, so you're on your own this week. I'm going to be under the desk.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is Features Editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
My name is Antoinette Grajeda.
Somebody's going to be a winner.
Yeah.
Yay.
That other voice, Rhonda Dillard, who always, when she's in here, is about to make somebody's day.
We always try.
What are we giving away today?
You know, we have a group of tickets to the 16th annual KUF Summer Jazz Concert Series. 3 different shows in 3 different locations, which is kind of a first.
Right.
So we're very excited about that. The first one will be the Yellow Jackets in Eureka Springs next Saturday night, I believe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. June 21st.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Yellow Jackets, 2 Grammys in their 30-plus year history. Plus, they have had at least 4 Grammy nominations every decade, the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s.
Oh wow. That's pretty impressive.
They're one of the most decorated, longest-lasting contemporary jazz bands in history.
Yeah. It says, or what I was reading earlier, it said they had 17 Grammy nominations. 17.
Yeah.
That's a bunch.
Yeah. Including one pretty recently. Not the latest CD, which is A Rise in the Road, but the CD previous to that was nominated for a Grammy.
More than me, so I'm excited.
Yeah. Good call. We also have the Sons of Brazil, which will be at 21C. Very exciting for us to have a concert at 21C. This will be our first.
There in Bentonville,
That's in July.
Yes, it is, July the 20th. And then we have the Composer Showcase, which is always just terrific, at the Star Theater at the Walton Arts Center. And we'll be doing that in August.
And the Composer Showcase, music written and performed by local folks. And it's a good time all the time.
Yeah.
So the name we're about to say gets tickets to all of these.
They do. They do indeed. 2 tickets to each one of these performances. So I'll let Antoinette drumroll.
All right.
We need an official sound drumroll.
We do. We'll get a drummer in here.
Oh, I like that even more.
Yes. All right. Well, our winner is Sandy Pringle Young of Fayetteville.
Sandy.
Yay.
Longtime member of KUAF.
And been my mailman in various mailperson, I should say, in various locations throughout
Sandy. Oh, cool.
Yeah, we love her.
Very cool.
Congratulations, Sandy.
Excellent.
And you'll contact Sandy and let her know how to get her tickets?
I will indeed.
What's next?
Well, officially we will not have anything on the site for probably the next week, but I have a slew of really cool things, including Theater Squared season tickets for next season. We have Harvest Fest, which will be here before you know it.
I'm so excited about the lineup.
I know, right? It's going to be a great time. Also, hopefully we'll be doing the Fort Smith Symphony again. I'll be visiting with John about that. We've got a really nice lineup for the rest of the summer.
Very good. Thank you, Rhonda.
You bet. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night from 10 till midnight. On this Friday's program, I'll interview Yellow Jackets drummer Will Kennedy. Will talks about growing up in Oakland, California in what was known as the East Bay Grease music scene with the likes of Sly Stone and Tower of Power, on to his touring the world with the Yellow Jackets. All this and more on Shades of Jazz this Friday at 10 p.m. right here on KUAF.
This is Ozarks at Large. One local band has had a busy month making the rounds in Northwest Arkansas playing gigs, including a CD release party for their all-original 8-song album titled Shadows. The band, Excluded, has yet to figure out their genre, but members say it's a mixture of alternative rock and pop and sometimes rap. The group has time to figure it out because they're all heading into 9th grade next year in Farmington Public School District. On their first official day of summer, lead vocalist Jake Phillips, Sam Shaw on rhythm guitar and backup vocals, Trey Waggle lead guitarist, bassist Quincy Graves, and drummer Coleman Warren were accompanied by their manager, driver, and mentor Jacob Faw to the Furman Garner Performance Studio. Ozarks at Large's Christina Carnance joined them there for a conversation, and she began by asking them about the 5th grade talent show that led to the formation of the band, and she also asked if they could recall the songs they played at that talent show.
Ooh, yeah.
A mixture.
American Woman?
No,
Lenny
Kravitz.
It
was a trio.
It was a trio.
It was
me. It was
well, he,
yeah, we played the trio. It's a mixture of Sweet Home Alabama, I Got a Feeling, and I Love Rock and Roll. And we still play that one.
How did you come up with the name Excluded? Is that what you've always been called? Or?
Well, I kind of came up with it because it kind of stands that we're different from other bands. We're so young. But we're already doing so much, and so we stand out. So those kind
instead of so excluded as opposed to included, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But excluded with no E at the beginning.
Yes. It's just
a big X.
Yeah.
Big
it's
X.
For the logo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks better that way.
Yeah. Yes. I think so. Yeah. With a big old E.
Pretty
just,
much.
It's not just, really yeah. the same feel.
Yeah. Fun.
You guys all go to Farmington schools?
Yes.
Same
right.
grade.
Same grade. All the same grade.
Going and being a freshman in high school.
What is it like? Do you guys hang out with each other?
Oh, yeah.
All day long?
Yeah, mostly at Coleman's house since he has a pool.
Yeah.
And Guitar Hero.
Yeah, that's the only reason they don't like me or anything. No.
So, Jacob, you're kind of the manager, the coordinator. You're the driver, the... How did you get hooked up with
Well, I have a music studio in Farmington, and I was teaching a few of them already on their instruments. And they just, you know, just kind of fell together because they were already friends, already wanting to play. And so we just started practicing. You know, they'd come kind of like a student would, but they'd all come together. And then we'd work on songs, and then an opportunity would come up, like a talent show or a birthday party, and just kind of kept growing from there.
All right. Well, guys, you've been working with Jacob for a while now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Since before the band, really.
Yeah.
So he's sort of a mentor for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys kind of look up to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. What
literally, I'm 6'5", so.
Right. What has Jacob taught you? What have you learned from working with him?
What good music sounds like. Like, if we think it sounds good, he'll be like, well, you could change this, and it'd sound a lot better, and it's just kind of helped me with my musical ear and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the first one to ever, like, really get me into guitar and, like, learning how to play it and play it good.
I take music really seriously. It's something that I did when I was, actually, I started when I was 13. So it's something that I, you know, really work hard at, and I expect my students and the boys here, you know, to work hard. And, like, we goof around a lot, but I expect them to do their best, you know, when it comes down to it. And so it kind of comes out in their performances. People are always pretty amazed, you know, at their performances.
Well, performances, you have played quite a few, I mean, actual gigs. I mean,
yep. Oh, yeah. We've packed down
real
JJ's
gigs.
We've
done,
times.
Like, three in the past month. In June?
Yeah.
Or May?
Yeah, we played in May. We played Pig Trail, you know, Harley Davidson, and then we played JJ's and Mojo's.
Yeah, and JJ's we packed out a couple times.
And Mojo's, they said, like, that's the most that have been there in a while.
What is it like playing in front of a big group of people that it's not at your school? These are members of the public. They're actually, you know, they're coming to see you.
Yeah,
it's not at church. It's not in school.
Yeah, I'm actually more nervous to play in front of my friends than them because I have to see my friends the day after them. It's just go out there and have some fun.
Yeah, you'll never see them again. So unless they come back and like you.
You played recently at the elementary school in Farmington. What is it like playing for younger students? You know, do they look up to
awesome.
You?
Yeah. It's really fun because they're always interactive with us. Like, they always, jump up and down, dancing.
We had lines of people that wanted us to sign autographs, and it was just the coolest thing.
Oh, yeah, that last concert, we all got on the lunch table, and they just went down in the line signing shirts and photographs and CDs of us. It was cool.
Like, most of them are like, dang, I don't have anything to sign. So they go get a piece of paper and ask us to sign it. And it was pretty fun.
And then you really are the cool kids.
Oh,
yeah.
Especially for the third graders. Yeah.
Publicity. You know, I first found out about you, I think I read about it in the paper, read about your group in the paper. You've, as we mentioned, been on the X 104.9 a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. Yes. They're really cool guys.
Yep.
What is it like having members of the media that want to talk to you? What is it
That's
like
cool.
being
yeah.
broadcast
whenever
to the...
Whenever I found out we were going to be on the radio, it was like the best feeling ever.
Yeah.
You know?
Up next is TV. That's the one we need to get on.
That was a fun ride home when we left the X for the first time because it was like a 15-minute lapse. And so riding home, we got to hear the interview, and then they got to hear their song on the radio. And we got to blast it out the radio, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was awesome.
For them, especially.
It's just weird, like, not plugging an auxiliary cord in your phone and listening to yourself, but, like, turning on the radio and changing it to a station where you're on.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because I would have never thought when I was younger I'd be on the radio someday.
And you really didn't have to wait that long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it difficult to balance working on the band and school? And I'm sure that you guys have activities. I don't know, football, baseball, basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Volleyball,
yeah.
Tennis.
Yeah, all
yeah,
those
I
things.
Leave tonight for a basketball camp.
Yeah. It's kind of hard, but, I mean, we make it work.
Yeah, we had to, me and Coleman had to skip tennis camp today.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say
to do this.
Well, you just released your first original album.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Called Shadows.
When do you find time to write songs?
I wrote a couple of them. It kind of just, most of the time I can't just come up with them, like just when I want to. It kind of just comes to me on the spot. So if I've got a melody or an idea in my head, I just write it down and start going with it. And yeah, so.
Basically. Was that a skill that just kind of came naturally? With
Yes, cause my whole family's musical, and so my parents kind of helped me with that and stuff like that.
What sort of message are you trying to say with your music? Is there a message? Is it just all about fun?
It's fun, like having fun with your friends and living your life.
Girls.
Yeah, there's
girls.
And then the ones that Sam writes are,
yeah.
They could go
like,
either way. He's
like either God or girls.
It's crazy how.
Geez.
It just depends on how you look at it. So
yeah. I'd say they write about whatever is influencing them at the time, you know.
Yeah.
Me and Quincy wrote a song called Here We Are Again. And that was just a situational song we kind of made up where a girl moves off to California and, you know, and he misses her and wishes that it could still be together, things like that. And then we have more serious songs.
Who are your influences? Who do you like to listen to? Which groups? What types of music?
I'm the only one. I'm the only one out of this group. I listen to classic rock, and I feel like that kind of influences how I play. So, yeah. That's
I listen to some, like, Three Doors Down. They're my favorite band. Yeah. So
mine's listen to mostly hip-hop because bass, obviously, and it gets me in the mood, you know?
I definitely listen to, like, One Republic and Ryan Tedder.
Yes.
He's, like, my favorite singer.
He's amazing. Yeah, there's a band. They're not... I mean, they're kind of known, but it's called Switchfoot, and I love Switchfoot.
All right. Well, did you guys, you came ready to play some music for us?
We did.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
This song right here is Friday by Excluded, which is us. It's about how great Friday is and how relieved you are when you get to that day, the final day of the work week or the school week. And it really applies right now to just summer in general and just having fun with your friends, letting loose, doing stuff you wouldn't normally do in the week. So, here's Friday. Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for a sunny weekend. All right, what's next?
Okay, this one is Here We Are Again. It's also an original by us. One of the main guys who wrote it was our bass player, Quincy Graves. He raps a little bit, too. This one is just a song we just wrote for fun. We didn't really have a meaning for it at the time. We were just really hoping to get an original out there, have some fun writing one. So this came to our mind. Couldn't believe it when you moved away. Talk on the phone and you say you're okay. I wanna be closer to where you are. I just wish that you weren't so far. Look, baby, it will be hard. There will be pain and there will be scars. Came back for a couple of days. I heard you saw Ashley and you mentioned my name. I wish it could be the way it was. I wish you could see it's not the same because. Just look, baby, it will be hard. There will be pain and there will be scars. Here we are again. Just me and you. was your smile that I missed every day. It happened so fast and you seemed okay. You took my heart with you when you moved to LA. Just look, baby, it will be hard. There will be pain and there will be scars. Here we are again, just me and you, yeah, yeah. Trying hard to believe that we can run away as far as we dare. Come with me, take my hand, don't be scared, scared, scared.
All right, thank you guys. So we have Jake, Trey, Coleman, Quincy, and Sam.
Yes.
All are excluded with fearless leader Jacob. Yeah. Well, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your summer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was the band Excluded. For more information on the band that is made up completely of high school freshmen, you can find them on Facebook. And remember, the band name starts with an X. Their newly released all original album, Shadows, is available on Spotify.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Prairie Grove.
Prairie Grove.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember doing that story?
I do. And I don't remember doing all the stories that I did.
Well, absolutely not. I don't remember all the stories I've done in the last month.
No, I don't either. The reason I remember that is because at some point I thought, what would Superman do?
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to talk to the editor of Superman. Now, this was before the internet or anything like that. So I called Rock Bottom Comic Book Store.
Did you really?
And got hold of the guy there and I said, do you know how any way I could get the phone number of DC Comics in New York? He said, well, I don't, but the distributor comes in every Tuesday. I'll ask him. Well, that distributor then called me, said, here is the main line. What was great is once I got to the main line of DC Comics and told him what I was working on, the editor of Superman Comics called me back in like 10 minutes. He was so enthusiastic to do that story.
If only it was always that easy.
If only. If only. I wish we could have had a camera so people could have seen your face as you were listening to that story from 1995.
Me?
Yes, because you couldn't believe the phone connection.
Oh, yeah. The phone connection, it just sounded so different. I know you did it on reel to reel. You actually used tape and you could kind of hear like where things were sliced and stuff.
Yes.
So that was interesting. just different usages of words, because I guess they were still called cellular phones at that time.
It was somewhat.
It was new.
Yeah.
Newish.
Maybe not exotic anymore, but.
Right. Newish.
A lot of people didn't have
that. That was different. And then you were asking the person to make the call for you, Arkansas telephone number. I don't know that I've ever.
That person was an operator.
Well, yes, I know what an operator is. Okay. I mean, I've used payphones. There's a zero and, for operator. I know what an operator is. It was just a very strange sentence to hear. It's not something I'm used to hearing.
Right. Well, you don't hear it anymore.
Well, no. I mean, especially if you're making a call from a cell phone, you're long distance, it'll just tell you it can't connect it. And so you're like, oh, I need the area code. And so you just start over. And I suppose Siri could be my operator. I could ask her to do it for me.
And the reason you said Arkansas numbers is because all Arkansas numbers at that time had the same area code. Everyone was 501.
Oh, right. Yes. Well, it was still that when I got here as a kid. So
yeah.
So yeah, that's not
familiar. You were a kid when that story aired.
I was a kid when that story aired. Yeah. Well, that was fun to find. I'm glad I found that.
And I'm anxious for that phone booth to get back.
Yes.
And I think you're going to see that story in the New York Times. Not the story that we did, but a story about the phone booth.
Yeah, I've seen a couple people kind of pick up on it. So that's fun.
All right, Christine and I will have Weekend Ozarks at Large Sunday morning at 9. I'll be back on Monday. You and I back together on Tuesday.
That's the plan.
Try to do something this weekend.
I'm doing plenty, thank you.
Okay. I think everybody in Northwest Arkansas and the Arkansas River Valley is doing plenty this weekend.
I promise.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend.